2014 is going to be a major year in Michigan politics. You can expect much of the spotlight to be fixed on the gubernatorial election with presumed candidates Rick Snyder for the GOP and Mark Schauer for the Dems. But Crane's Detroit Business thinks there are other names worth looking at in 2014. Writer Chris Gouts joins us now to talk about the people to watch in state politics. And the first name in your story, Chris, is someone who's been on stateside recently talking about the dearth of women in Michigan government, and that would be Ingham County Clerk Barb Byram. Why is Barb on this list?
Well, I think for a couple of reasons. One is that it's not just my list that she's on. She also, and when talking with a number of folks, she appears to be on Mark Schauer's list, on his short list for a lieutenant governor candidate. All the political folks say that he'd be wise to pick a woman to be on his ticket. And so she seems to be a candidate that a lot of people are talking about. She gained national attention, was a year or so ago now during that abortion debate when she and Lisa Brown were silenced for a day the following day during a debate over abortion and received national attention for that. And from all accounts, she seems to be doing a really good job as the Ingham County Clerk, which also leads people to think that if she doesn't wind up on the Lieutenant Governor spot, that she might try to take on Ruth Johnson for Secretary of State.
Okay, and she did speak at length about what she sees as a problem with a lack of women in policymaking and legislative positions in Lansing. So it'll be interesting to see if she can move into that. Now, the next name on the list in your piece in Crane's Detroit Business is Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly. What does 2014 hold for him, do you think?
Well, I think quite a bit. Obviously, one of the big reasons why he's on the list is because he has this really unusual challenge for his spot on the ticket from at least one person right now, Wes Nakagiri, a Tea Party leader, I believe out of Heartland, who's running for the lieutenant governor seat, which is just a very odd thing. And so it's sort of forced this weird situation where Lieutenant Governor Kelly is going around the state talking to different GOP groups whose members are going to be those who cast their votes for the lieutenant governor position at the state party convention. Meanwhile, at the top of the ticket, his presumed running mate, Rick Snyder, hasn't actually announced that he's running yet. So, you've got Kelly running, but the governor not officially. But then he's also going to be involved in a number of big issues still this year. He was very involved in the personal property tax reform that passed in late 2012. And right now, as the Michigan Municipal League and other groups try to fight to change that before there's this big August vote on whether or not to allow those changes to take place, he's really been at the forefront of leading those discussions about whether or not there'll be any changes prior to that vote.
You know, I'm betting that folks who do not closely follow politics in this state aren't aware that it's really the members of the at the GOP convention that will choose the governor's running mate and not the governor.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people did. I think there are some reporters, I think myself included, when I first heard about it, I was like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. But one thing that the Tea Party has done really well is that they understand, they've read the rules and they learn how to do it. And they really even tried the first time around. They tried to mount a challenge unsuccessfully. And this time that they've figured out how to go about it, and they're trying their best to unseat him.
And how much recognition, name-wise, do you think Wes Nakagiri has? Because I knew his name immediately. So is he doing the right things to get his name out there?
I think so. The problem is that we might know his name, but we're not going to be the voters at the state convention. So as long as he's doing as much on the ground as lieutenant governor is and going to these different county groups around the state and talking to those who are going to be the delegates, those are really going to be the people that are going to be getting phone calls nonstop, I would imagine, leading up to the convention from lieutenant governor personally and from Wes and from others who might get into the race. So that's who he needs to make sure knows who he is.
If you just joined us, I'm speaking with Crane's Detroit Business writer Chris Gouts, one of our regular stateside guests, and we're talking about his story in Crane's Detroit Business, 10 people to watch in state politics. And another name on your watch list is someone who's been on stateside, and that's Equality Michigan Managing Director Emily Devendorf. Why is she on your list?
Well, I think for a couple of reasons. One is that, you know, in the last couple of years, her group and she specifically have been working really hard, sometimes behind the scenes, sometimes not so much, working around the state, getting local municipalities to include protections for LGBT members of those communities to be included in their non-discrimination protections so that those in that community cannot be fired for being who they are or for be discriminated in terms of housing. And they've been very successful so far. They've had 31 communities that represent about 20% of the state's population have included that ordinance, including cities like Detroit and Ann Arbor and Royal Oak most recently. But now she's really focused on a statewide issue, a statewide bill. And so she's going to be really pushing that. And there have been some indications that, you know, something like that could happen. The governor has been very reticent to talk about it, as have some of the leaders. But my sense, and not so much talking to Emily, but in talking with others, is that I think there really is a really good chance that this could actually happen because, in some ways, it's good general election politics, not only for the governor but for some other members. And so, I think the hesitancy on the governor's part and some others to talk about their support for it right now is that if they talk about it too much, you know, some of them might be in danger of having a primary challenge. Or, you know, there could be some other, or it would give time for the opposition to really mount a strong, vehement defense on this. And so if the timing is right, it could happen, you know, pretty quickly. And then they could just get it done before, you know, the forces on the other side would decide not to. So I think that Emily's going to be at the forefront of that. And also, as part of this, you're going to see not only this, but she's going to be working to lay the groundwork for a 2016 repeal of the state's constitutional ban on gay marriage. And so I think as this progresses this year, I think 2015 will be really laying that groundwork. And then in 2016, hopefully the advocates think that they could actually repeal that that ban.
Moving over to the Michigan Democratic Party, you have Lon Johnson on your list of ones to watch in 2014. Why in particular, apart from the fact that he does head the Michigan Democratic Party?
Well, I think he has a lot on his plate, you know, obviously, in his first year. I mean, he really did a lot of what people would say would be the impossible in unseating Mark Brewer. But, you know, that election aside, now he's got, you know, a handful of really major elections that he's going to be the one guiding. And so he's going to be trying to make sure that Mark Schauer can unseat Governor Snyder. He's going to try to keep the U.S. Senate seat that Carl Levin is retiring from, trying to keep that in the Democratic column. He wants to, you know, he's going to have to try to decide where to marshal his resources and in terms of trying to take back the state house, maybe pick up some seats in the Senate. There's three, I believe, state Supreme Court seats. So, and this is going to be all about resources and money, and we'll really see how he does at, you know, deciding where to spend those resources and where to, you know, really you know, putting what needs to happen. And so a lot of that's being done right now in terms of technology. They're really doing a lot in terms of identifying voters and using some of that micro-targeting and that micro-level data that President Obama used successfully in his presidential elections, and using some of that technology and some of that information here in Michigan to try to make sure that all Democrats come out and vote this fall.
And speaking of Democrats in the Senate in Lansing, you have Senator Rebecca Warren, Democratic senator from Ann Arbor, on your list.
Yeah, she's a really interesting person to be. I think I'd be on the list. One is that she's one of a few names that's being listed as those that would succeed term limited Gretchen Whitmer as the minority leader. And I say minority leader only because I think almost everyone, maybe except those who are trying to raise money for the Senate Democrats, would say that it's probably impossible that they're going to retake the majority, given that the Republicans right now have 26 seats in the 38-member chamber. So, so I think we're safe to say that they'll be in the minority party again, and she seems to be the one that rises right now to that level to be the minority leader to take over. And she's also the Democratic Caucus campaign chairwoman, so she's going to be going around the state meeting with those candidates who would eventually obviously elect the minority leader. So she's going to be doing a lot of work there. But she's also been involved in a lot of issues and has actually had some success. There was a breastfeeding bill that she had been really working on that passed right before the end of session. last month, and so she's been really working on that. And also some things regarding autism. She's got another bill out there that she's been really pushing. And so she's been involved in quite a few issues. Even though she's, by all accounts, the most liberal member of the Senate, she actually has a fairly decent track record of working across the aisle and actually getting things done.
Interesting, interesting. Lots of folks to keep our eye on, and there's even more. The article is 10 People to Watch in State Politics, and you can read it in the January 5th issue of Crain's Detroit Business. Chris Gouts, as always, thanks for being on Stateside.
Thank you.